Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is. Rockin' and rollin' and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We got our man Turtle. Chris Thomas is in for Carl today. He is on his little vacay. I believe it's hanging with the boys in Vegas. Now to put his business on the street. Too late. But March Madness is kind of a thing he likes to do. Orin's behind the glass. And we had a pretty cool topic that got people fired up. And it's funny because I agree with the majority of the callers who say, no way, Jose, you cannot draft a wide receiver, even if it would be someone the caliber of Marvin Harrison Jr. if he fell to you at 8. And the only reason he might fall is if there would be some friction between teams that, let's say he doesn't do a private. I mean, that's a legitimate concern. If he's not even doing a private workout for teams, then maybe somebody would say, wait a minute, what the heck's going on here?
Is his agent still telling him, like he probably was a couple of weeks ago, you don't need to worry about even talking to anybody outside the top three or four? I think that conversation might be expanding a little bit now.
I know. A bunch of guys going crazy. Blitzkrieg beat. We need Edge. And he spells it out and all capitals. Guy says, if he's a resurrection of Julio Jones, this team finally needs to get this defense right, even if he is. Another guy says, the Falcons' counter-argument, they already passed on Jamar Chase, Garrett Wilson, CeeDee Lamb. Can't pass on Marvin Harrison Jr.
I saw another tweet that said someone's already assuming that he'll be a cancer in the locker room no matter where he goes.
You don't know that.
How do you know that?
You got so my uncle's cousin's brother is a custodian at the Buckeyes facility. Come on. You don't know that. His father is a star. He learned from his dad. His dad was one of those low-key guys ever. His old man never said two words, you know, and just did his job.
Almost
right?
Suspiciously so.
Well, look, the shooting at the car wash wasn't his fault, okay? Let's move on from that issue. You know, the car wash, it was a thing. I wasn't there. But in this case, it is compelling for a number of reasons, because if you feel that this guy is going to be that next, you know, Randy Moss or that super elite guy, then, you know, you're going to say, yeah, but we need a defense. But we do! And the other thing is, we do have Drake London. Now, I know Drake London is not the burner, but Drake London showed you even when he's got bums throwing him the football, even without a stepladder, he's able to make a number of plays for the last couple of seasons. If he had anything degree of competent at the quarterback position, he'd have 2,000-yard seasons.
Yeah, the only thing now I would think for the Falcons, if they actually did consider this, was did we already overspend in our wide receiver room? Because two and a half, because Ray-Ray McCloud's he's not really a true wide receiver.
No.
He's more of a return guy. But you bring in two legit wide receivers, and now if you draft a third, is that way too many allocations of resources in one spot? That's
right.
The question.
Yeah, so we'll continue the conversation. We'll talk more about it at 5 o'clock. Also, in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have a state representative on who's going to explain to us what's going on with the gambling bill. As we used to joke around when we were kids, you remember Schoolhouse Rock, right, Chris? Because Chris is like half my age bracket.
Yeah, I'm just Bill sitting on Capitol Hill.
I'm just an only old Bill. Trying to figure out where we stand, because I know there was some confusion. I may have even included the wrong number of the House bill that was trying to get you guys to contact your local state representative. I'm confused by it. We'll try to cut through it and find out if this is the year that we get legalized sports gambling, or as some people have said, maybe next year is the best year, according to some lobbyist friend of mine, that this thing will go down. But that'll be coming up all in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, though, time to talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
This hour of the show brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. The SEC partners up with ESPN. They've got a contract in place. And until that contract is up for renewal, they're not giving it away. Talking about the football. Chris, we get the look at the 2025 schedule, but it's not going to be a 9-game conference schedule.
No, you know what, Mike? I had to double take because I was like, wait, isn't this the 2024 schedule? But here's the twist. It's now in reverse, meaning that the home games will now be the away games in 2025. So you're looking at UGA getting the likes of Alabama, UK, Ole Miss, and Texas, Carl Dukes, at home. And then their away opponents, Auburn and Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Florida. So basically, it's not the worst thing in the world, in my opinion, because the matchups are still good. My complaint, as I said, Mike, earlier was, why aren't you just going all in? I get the money circumstances, but if you're going to move college football forward in the direction that they have been the last several years, I mean, don't you want more SEC play, especially with the new teams?
Yeah, I just think whether you're a Georgia Tech fan or an Auburn fan, a Florida State fan, a Clemson fan, anybody, wherever your local school is that you drive to on a Saturday weekend, I want to see the best games. You know, I mean, yeah, it's fun when Georgia Southern plays Georgia, but come on, you want to see the big boys. You want to see the Power Five. You want to see more SEC. When I first moved here, I joked around with Chris. I'm like, so when does Alabama play Georgia? Oh, in like 2000. What?
Yeah.
You know, it just seems kind of crazy now that the conference has expanded and expanded. And yeah, it's great. You're going to have Texas coming to town. That's amazing. That's going to be an epic weekend. The weekend the Georgia fans are going to Austin. I know Carl and I have spoken about this. That's also Formula One race weekend at the Circuit of the Americas. You're going to have to stay in San Antonio.
It's going to be the most expensive weekend in American history.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that weekend for F1. I've never been to a game at Darrell K. Royal Stadium, but it would be unbelievable to be there with those two crowds. But yeah, hotel rooms up the yin-yang. But getting back to the matter at hand, because they have their current contract, and this is the logic behind it, and even though they don't say it, and Slive doesn't really come out and say it, they just feel if you want to get 9 conference games, which are going to give you TV ratings up the yin-yang, you got to pay for that. So that's why they haven't advanced it. It sucks, but that's why we're stuck in that 8-game rut for another year with the SEC.
Yeah, the bureaucracy always seems to find its way right smack in the middle of the fun, doesn't it, Mike Bell? Because that's exactly what we're talking about again here. So as you prepare to switch all your networks with the SEC, moving to ESPN, with everything going on in college football, you would think that their goal at the end of the day, right, would be to put the best product out on the field. So if you're talking about Georgia versus Alcorn State in week one, I don't think that measures up.
Yeah, but again, you're not gonna give it away. They just, hey, man, like they tell you, don't give it away. And that's exactly what the SEC is going to do for another year. Hey, man, on the sideline with the dogs, Trevor Etienne, you might have read the article in Dog Nation, already got Kirby talking about it, other coaches, players. This dude, I love the comments. I love the attitude. I love the fact he's throwing his old team under the bus, because who cares about the Gators? They're awful people. But Trevor Etienne wants to come up here and be the lead dog. Pardon the pun. 5'9", 205 pounds. This dude, I said, as you wrote, more like a Ford Mustang than an F-150, but the dude can catch the ball. Here's what Tate Ratledge had to say. He's now one of the leaders on the offensive line. He meshed really well with everybody. He came in. He's a good personality. He's really gotten along with everybody. We brought him into the family, looking forward to see what he can do this spring.
I think this system is what the dog should get back to. More of your one horse back that can lead the way and be there for the majority of the game. I know the last couple of years they haven't been able to do that as much because of personnel. Frankly, Dejon Edwards is a really good back, but he's not at the caliber of an ETN. So I think this is only going to benefit the offense, because this is a guy, Mike, every single play that he's on the field, you need to know where he is. So that only opens up things for Carson Beck that much more.
Right, and the rushing of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, that was, I mean, one for the ages. We already talked about some of the great running backs, you know, RBU, tailback university have come through. Todd Gurley, Garrison Hurst, you know, DeAndre Swift more recently. But you're right. Going back to No. Sean Moreno, still think they should have won that championship that year with Stafford. But this is I'm with you. By committee now, everybody's using multiple backs. I want to run him into the ground. But this is, we only got one chance to use ETN. So let's go to work.
Yeah, he's going to be the featured back. And I think, again, that's exactly the way that the UGA offense should present itself. And again, Mike, you're losing key positions all over the field on both sides of the ball. There has been an absolute ton of turnover. Now, it's a good thing because, Mike, that means all those guys are going to the NFL under Kirby's watch. But at the same time, you got to restock the farm. And when you can bring in a guy like this, it settles everything else down around you. Oscar Delp and all the rest of the tight ends, you're not going to replicate Brock Bowers. But with ETN in the backfield, that's going to go a long way.
Dog Report here, guys, on Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Partnership not for long between Clemson and the ACC.
Oof.
Now, we got into this yesterday, and just you guys, by now, most folks have read the article, you figured it out. Florida State has got a lawsuit, and they're trying to figure out where this lawsuit's going to be heard. They put this down in Tallahassee. ACC's got a suit up in Mecklenburg County, which is Charlotte. The Clemson guys, they file up in South Carolina for obvious reasons. And the question now is, can you get out of this friggin' contract? The suit, Clemson calls the ACC grant of rights. This is, you, whenever you see the acronym GOR, that's what they're talking
yep.
about. And the reported exit fee. FSU claims that it's basically more than $140 million. It is basically up to about half a billion, $570 million. And then they got the rights to your image. And lights. A lot of folks are going, wait a minute, a lot of this doesn't make sense. How does the judge interpret the grant of rights? We spoke to Wes Durham about this. You know, Wes, of course, works for the ACC, told us a few weeks back, oh, no, this is going to. At some point, the ACC got no options. They got a contract they're stuck with. Now, eventually, there are escalators in the contract, but they're still the worst in the Power Four because it ain't five anymore, Chris. They make less money per game, per team, per conference, than the Big 12.
Here's the problem, though, and the commissioner, Jim Phillips, came out and said this the other day, pretty bluntly. He said, hey, guess what, guys? You signed on the dotted line twice over in 13 and 16. So you agreed to this. That's not our fault. And we're going to fight you tooth and nail on it because you signed the deal. So sorry, bud.
Yeah, but I just think at some point now, the Florida State measure, remember they were talking about, we'll go to Wall Street. We'll find somebody on Wall Street. And then so you have a board of directors that can fire your coach because you're not winning enough? That's a slippery slope, isn't it?
That's not
a precedent.
You got
a bunch of investors involved?
Nah, that's not a precedent you want to
set. I'm not sure that's where you want to go with that one. But the article that I guess it was Dennis Dodd had, basically it's the Big Ten and the SEC are making so much more money. They're even making $10 million more from the college football playoff than the ACC
gets. Oh, wow. Okay.
So you combine that with nearly $30 million estimated in the lawsuit by Clemson, and it's basically an exclamation point of how far these leagues are ahead of everybody else. So, and that's from Pete Thamel, by the way. Pete Thamel from ESPN. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to kind of get through, but when you look at the money and the dollars, brands are Clemson and Florida State. Miami has not lived up to their end of the bargain. North Carolina, Virginia Tech, schools that, you know, when the ACC did their last TV deal were viable, just haven't been. So the ratings, and we did the pie chart. It's not, and by the way, I'm not reading this out there like as an FSU fan to stick mud in somebody's eye. It's just you can look at the articles yourself and see what numbers are drawing. It's Notre Dame, Clemson, but it's FSU that draws the most in the ACC.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, to look at is, Mike, this isn't going to happen in a week.
No.
This isn't going to happen in a month. Or maybe even 6 months, or maybe even a year or 2 years. So they're getting ahead of this now to make sure that by the time the real changes are taking place in college football, they can at least be in the mix.
Right. So we'll see where this one goes. The lawyers will have some billable hours. It just seems like the only resolution, other than, you know, the ACC caving and giving these schools which are generating more revenue, more TV viewers, more money. So, how does a Wake Forest, or how does a Miami, or anybody for that matter, Georgia Tech, live in a world where Clemson and Florida State grab the lion's share of the TV money?
Baseball does it.
I know. That's how Major League Baseball puts it together. It's a great point. But the ACC, I don't know, man. I know that it's just another chapter of how college football, as we know it, is just going the way of the dodo. I don't know how far this accelerates or the ACC is looking like the Pac-12, but getting Stanford and Cal and SMU, I mean, that's like selling deck chairs on the Titanic. Who gives a flip, right?
It's the Power Three.
Yeah. We'll come back. We got more to dive into. We are going to have a discussion about sports gambling because we got one crack at this. And the legislative year is wrapping up. We'll try to get some headway on this one. Also, more of your texts and your phone calls about this Marvin Harrison situation. We'll explain.
Hold up. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell. Hope everybody's enjoying the program today with Chris Filney. We kind of stumbled into this Marvin Harrison topic, which got a lot of people fired up. And you can always give us a ring at 404-726-0929 to sound off on it. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Basically, the nutshell, the crux of the argument would be if Marvin Harrison maybe ticks off some personnel guys that are looking at other receivers, or again, it's a reach. I still think he's going to go way before we pick at 8. But he didn't run at the combine. He didn't do anything at his pro day. And now we're waiting to find out if he's actually going to do private workouts for teams like the Arizona Cardinals, who are the odds-on favorite to draft him. But if he didn't, would somebody maybe pass on him? And does that mean he could potentially fall to us at 8? When you look at the logic that all three quarterbacks are to go 1, 2, 3, Vikings going to move up somewhere ahead of us to go get their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. That's the conventional wisdom right now.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other squads and you say, oh, well, okay. Might have a guard go. I mean, a tackle, I should say, go. Alt from Notre Dame. The idea is it's not like we're just concocting some crazy, you know, sports argument. It's legit. It's a legitimate concern. So people are fired up. Would you take Marvin Harrison if he fell to you at 8? Some guys feel this guy, like his dad, will be a Hall of Famer.
Man, you just look at the numbers, as we like to say on Dukes and Bell, and you don't get much better than 67 receptions for 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. It is so tantalizing to make this. I feel like, Mike, could he make the offense complete? Could he take this offense from very good to competing with, you know, the likes of the Chiefs for scoring the most amount of points in the league next season?
You don't know about the magic in Darnell Mooney.
Well, listen, Rondale Moore ain't nothing to sneeze at, buddy.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, man, if you get him lined up, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Tyler Algier, and Bijan in the backfield, I mean, man, name me three offenses in the NFL that are better than that.
No, there's none. But it gets back to the old argument, and I got a couple guys fired up. Not my intention. They're just pointing out that, you know, Julio Jones, one of the great Falcons of all time, you know, and again, he made a catch that should have gone down in Falcons history is the one that sets up the game-winning field goal. And then, you know, we run out the clock, and, yeah, the Patriots come up short. But, man, we didn't. So at the end of the day, we moved up. And for those who don't remember, in 2011, I'm not saying that Julio's not a great Falcon, guys. I'm just getting into the philosophy of management at the time. And Dimitroff and Fontenot are very similar in the sense that they love offense under the guise of the best athlete available. The 2011 draft comes after the 2010 playoff, Chris.
Right.
We get beat by the Packers. Matt threw some terrible interceptions in that game, one before the half. We lose to the eventual Super Bowl champion Packers. They beat us. They go on to beat the Steelers. We thought then we're going to go get either Vaughn Miller, J.J. Watt, Cameron Jordan, Ryan Kerrigan, Cameron Hayward, Alden Smith before he went a little wacko. You know, there were all these guys. It was one of the great edge rush drafts. Cameron Jordan was eating our lunch for a decade in New Orleans, right?
Still does.
I mean, Vaughn Miller, J.J. Watt recently retired. But those guys, and Kerrigan had a super solid year for, career up in D.C. But it was the argument of, and this brings us back full circle to what we're talking about with the 8th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Turner, Jared Verse. How can you pay lip service again? How are you going to roll out and say, well, I hope Ebiketie really pops now, and I hope that Zach Harrison is really going to be the guy now, or we'll bring Calais Campbell back and restructure somebody, and not go for a young, fire-breathing edge rusher that's perceived to be top 10?
Two words, Mike. generational receiver. I'm telling you right there. You want your next Julio Jones? You want somebody along with Bijan Robinson that's going to bring people to the bends? Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr. and Bijan Robinson on the same offense?
Right.
Those fannies will be in seats. They're not coming to the ballpark to see Jared Verse.
No, and you have everybody who loves Julio, and we all, you know, love what Julio did here. Look, guys, I'll never understand why Matt Ryan and Julio could never connect for high point touchdowns, for the fade, for all the things that other quarterbacks and elite wide receivers, who like Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, right? All those things that we used to wonder why? And Carl and I sometimes are getting these arguments. We agreed with it. We'd argue with the listeners that, you know, maybe a little more practice would help. And then guys go, oh, we talk about practice. But it just never gelled like it should have. For all the touchdowns that they connected with, there should have been more. And I don't know where to blame. I just know it didn't happen. That's it.
I'm mad and I'm not going to take it
anymore. No, and I just feel that, you know, but the philosophy was, we thought, well, hell, how do we beat the Packers? No, let's not try to get, or anybody we're going to battle for the NFC, and let's not try to bash their quarterback's brains. They will try to outscore them. And that was the model. And it just so happened that by moving up in 2011, you then screwed up your chance to improve your offensive line that led to a couple of down years before eventually we got back in 16. That's where it is. 12 was the year we popped. 13, injury, 14, 15, then 16. We obviously, I don't have to tell you guys.
It is an offensive league, Mike.
So you do it. If Marvin Harrison's there at 8, you're taking him.
This is the only reason why, before everyone starts screaming at me. Because there are other edge rushers in the draft. There are two specifically. Now, you would have to – this move – so the double-edged sword for Marvin Harrison would be that you would have to then turn around and give up an asset to move back up into the back end of the first round and try to get either Latu from UCLA or Chop Robinson from Penn State, because both of those guys are a little bit more raw, but they are very, very highly regarded first-round prospects. The problem for you is – again, you'd have to maybe give up your second-round pick or maybe one of those extra third-round picks to move back up into the first round. So that's the caveat. But if he's as good as everybody thinks he can be, Mike, that's worth it to me.
Again, guys, John just hit me up. Drafting a top three player in franchise history was a mistake, apparently. Now, guys, I said then, try to follow along. Because I know for all you guys that, you know, this is going to get triggered, and if any comment on Julio is also going to be a trigger for some of you guys out there. I'm saying the argument is about a philosophy in drafting offense or defense when you've got a top pick. That's the argument. Make the argument that we should have won the Super Bowl. The Julio pick, of course, pans out. But we didn't. Okay? We didn't. And there's other ways to do it. And there's other players. Cam Jordan won a Super Bowl. Did he? I got to go back and look at that. No, that was afterwards because that was the year before because they beat the Colts.
Yeah, that was what, 06, 07?
Yeah, that's way back. So Cam Jordan got you nothing other than just a lot of pain and suffering for Falcons.
For Falcons fans, yeah. So that's why it hits home, and that's why it's personal.
Right. Like, Vaughn Miller got one.
Yeah, well, right. I think he got two.
With the Rams. Yeah. First with the Broncos.
So. Yeah. Right. So, again, it's what do you think is the best move for the Falcons to win now? Because as you said, Mike, we got a 3-year window, and that might be generous. We could have a 2-year window with Kirk Cousins, depending on how things shakes out. So every pick that you make, every free agent that you sign needs to be not thinking about the 2028 Falcons, the 2024 Falcons. And right now, if you put Marvin Harrison Jr., Chop Robinson on the edge, I think that's a pretty damn good combo. But right. Is it a pipe dream? It sure absolutely could be. And in which case, if the Falcons do pick at 8, Mike, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is long gone, there can be only one direction to go, and that is edge.
And by the way, I think it's fun to talk about, but I don't think Marvin Harrison falls to us. I still think that it's right now, this is the kind of, and we said, Carl brought this up yesterday. I always say we call it the October surprise in politics, the March-April surprise in the draft. But right now, it's just, this is the fodder that, you know, somebody like Bill Polian would be like, nah, what's wrong? Guy thinks he's too big for us. Nah, he's not going to. Not that Polian talks like an old James Cagney movie, but you get the idea. That old, well, he's not doing what he needs to be doing. You know, he's shown you the tape. He's shown you he's the best wide receiver in this class. You believe he's the best wide receiver? Because there are some draft experts who feel that Neighbors from LSU, Malik Neighbors, is his equal.
Rome Odunze, those guys, Brian Thomas from LSU, his teammate. He had 68 receptions, 1,100 yards last season. I mean, these guys are great. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman for a reason, right?
Right.
He had those guys to throw to. So at the end of the day, the good thing is, I think Falcons fans, what we can take away from this conversation, from this exercise, if you will, is that no matter if you go wide receiver or edge, there are plenty of depth positions, depth pieces for both, and that the Falcons' hardest decision will be between choosing which is the best guy as opposed opposed to even trying to get that position. It's a good position to be in.
Right. So, again, I've just put out on Twitter, before I trigger Julio fans, the argument today, if Marvin Harrison falls to 8, would you take him over the glaring need, which is edge rush, which just happened to be the same glaring need in 2011. But we decided, so it's offense versus defense. So, sorry, if, can't think for you. Hopefully you can follow along.
Too soon, Mike, too soon. It was 11 years ago, but it's still too soon.
I guess so. But it is a philosophical argument of it. How do you approach it? And because our general manager, we still don't know why they didn't like Fields, if that was Arthur Smith or just didn't feel. I think we realize they still don't like Fields like other people do in town. But we went, you guys know, Pitts, which raised a lot of eyebrows. With all the, you could have gone offensive line. You could have Penei Sewell, who's obviously coming to his own, certainly in Detroit.
He's
one of the
best linemen. Yep, in the game.
Right. And then we've talked about wide receiver. There were a lot of guys. There was a run on receivers, but Drake London, it's difficult to gauge how good Drake is. We see the athleticism, but the problem is he's had some bums throwing him the football.
And you know what? To his credit still, he had an 800-yard season and a 900-yard season. So it's not exactly like he came out of the gates and was an absolute bust. He was doing everything in his power. Week after week, Mike, we watch him make circus catches, high-pointing the ball. Right. Because Ridder couldn't throw the ball inside of the barn, man. He couldn't hit the ocean from the sand. It was awful. But he was still able to make so many great acrobatic contested catches. So you get that on one side. You get another guy on the other side, whether it's Mooney, whether it's Rondale Moore, whether it's somebody else that they draft. And now you're ready to go.
Right on. Hey, guys, we have a good show today. We appreciate your participation. You can always hit us up at 404-726-0929. Hit us up. By the way, give me your Twitter handle if you guys want to jump on board.
Yeah, at C Thomas Radio for all your complaints.
I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Carl's on vacay right now. So you can hit him up, too. Put him up, C Dukes, and say, why don't you ever tell Mike when you're going on vacation? Coming up next, we have some guy talk. I will tread very lightly around the subject matter, but try to convey the core of the story. That Lamar Odom had a very particular pregame ritual that he just shared on a podcast to relieve stress.
Oh, boy.
Before a game. You've seen the movie Something About Mary? Might be able to figure this one out.
Oh, no.
It's all coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Where the players play. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got our man Chris Turtle Thomas in for Carl today. How's the poll looking, by the way? If Marvin Harrison's refusal to work out for NFL teams continues and he falls to 8, would you draft him, knowing how this franchise has drafted the last 3 years?
Well, our callers and our tweeters are at an impasse, mm-hmm, because the overwhelming majority of callers want to go edge, but the overwhelming majority of tweeters, as the votes continue to pour in at Dukes and Bell 929, 65% yes, 35% no.
Gotcha.
Bring them in.
Funny, the guys, we're going round and round about, like, now it's come down. I'm having arguments at, like, 11 and 12 years old now about when I said, you know, offense or defense. Because, again, in my mindset, it was all about edge rush in 2011. And then we made the big move because there were only two wide receivers and they wanted to get somebody opposite Roddy, where the feeling was, you know, you could go get somebody in later rounds and Julio was a Hall of Famer. You got a Hall of Fame wide receiver and everybody loves him. But, you know, you never, ever got a guy to pair with John Abraham. So it was John Abraham and... And that's where it's at. And so we scored no points in the second half against the 49ers, couldn't stop them. And then Kaepernick gets on to, you know, play the Ravens in that Super Bowl. Could have been us. Should have been us. But, hey, doesn't matter now. It's all water under
the bridge. Why are you bringing up old?
No, I just when I get into the Julio. Look, you think the Fields thing triggers people? What's this Julio thing triggers people? You're talking about Julio.
Why are you bringing up old?
Exactly. Thank you.
It was offense versus defense is the philosophy. I apologize if the argument is too nuanced for something. That's condescension right there. I don't want to do that.
And there's the man of the hour on TV looking pretty confident and smug about his positioning.
Yeah. I mean, Marvin Harrison, it is funny reading some of the comments we get, especially on the text line. He looks like a jerk. Now we need to stop now. That's just silly. Now what is
I'm
this?
A little confused by your tactics.
Yeah, now it's second grade. What? The guy showed you. You want to look at some tape of Marvin Harrison? Watch him against Georgia until he gets the concussion in the semifinal championship game. Right?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good against the best defense in the country. Right?
I think here's the thing people lose sight of too. There was a point before the quarterback mess got settled out where people were saying, and some still are, that he's obviously not a quarterback, but he might be the best player in the draft overall.
So there you go. Best athlete. And that gets back to this team goes for the best available athlete. He would be that. I agree with a couple of guys that have hit us up and also on the text line that say there's no way in God's green earth that Marvin Harrison ever falls to number 8.
I don't know if no way on God's green earth is that might be a little far.
No, because then you could also argue, and I'm sure he's going to do individual team workouts and then the 40 time will leak. And if it's bad, then maybe he does fall a little bit, right? And that's plausible.
And also, what if they don't like, to use a phrase, the cut of his jib when they meet with him?
All right. So, look, to the outsider, you say, wow, man, look at this guy. Well, what does he think he is? Well, I still think, at the end of the day, the tape doesn't lie. He's the best wide receiver in this class. I also think Malik Nabers is great, and certainly Roman Dunze is great. But here's the deal. If, by chance, the Arizona Cardinals don't draft him at 4, or they trade out of the pick, right? And we still want to see if the Vikings are going to probably move up ahead of the Giants. The Giants could probably draft him. Still going to get a quarterback, too.
Titans aren't taking him at 7.
No, they're pretty set right now. Everyone's kind of got them going Joe Alt or the Penn State lineman. But
still,
either way.
They still got D-Hop there.
Right. But you put D-Hop with Marvin Harrison Jr.? Mm. That's the same argument you're making for the Falcons.
Yeah. But at the same time, Tennessee, you know what position they're not set at? Quarterback.
I thought, you know, I think Will Levis is still not solidified that role.
He had that game against the Falcons.
Just
and then
against us.
He kind of came crashing back.
That
down
was that stretch
earth.
Where we made everybody who put on a helmet for the first time in anger for that team look like Jim Plunkett or Joe Thott. You take the quarter, any good quarterback, Joe Namath for that matter. Everybody beat us. We couldn't tackle Dobbs. We couldn't tackle Kyler Murray. All right, so this is supposed to be guy talk. Well, more on the Falcons at 5. Can we ever get sports gambling at 5:20? We're going to talk to Mark, State Representative Marcus, is it Weedhour?
Weedhour.
Okay. And he's going to let us know how this is supposed to go and will we ever get a chance to have a constitutional amendment so you guys can vote. Not the special interest groups, not the Bible Belt stuff, whatever which way your Peter teeters on this. Let the people decide across the state if we can have sports gambling. And then hopefully Biff's World, Horse Tracks, and the whole shebang. But we'll start
one step at a time.
That's coming up next hour. All right, some guy talk for you. Reminder, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks 2 days in a row. Thursday, Kennesaw. Friday, Buckhead. Carl's off. Turtle is going to be at the Cheetah with the guys doing the March Mayhem shenanigans.
That's right.
And so you got choices for fun, good clean fun, and slightly less clean fun. So it's going to be a good time. Rob Tribble's going to be with me, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw, and then Buckhead Thursday and Friday. All right, Guy Talk. Interesting podcast. Lamar Odom goes on The Lady Show. L-A-D. Have you heard about this?
No.
Talking with Lakers guard Max Christie. Aaron Cohen is the host of the podcast. Christie was a guest on this. Lamar, who was part of the Kardashian clan there for a minute, goes on to say that to relieve stress and to relax before every game he played in the NBA, he would blow off some steam.
There's a lot of different ways to interpret that, Mike. I need some context clues.
Extra energy. He'd blow off extra energy. Man energy.
Okay, now I'm getting a clearer picture.
I'm traipsing up to the line. I'm not over the line. No. Remember something about Mary? You don't go out with a loaded gun?
No, you don't.
So there you go. He goes, I'd be home at the crib sometimes before I'd get to the arena. He says, he also gave advice about using protection, too. So there's some practical advice for young NBA players.
Well, I believe he found himself in a pretty dire situation out in Las Vegas, so he knows a thing or two about that.
So, again, he says, yes, you can't go out there with that kind of energy. Some people do believe that is applicable. In others, some people feel having sex before you do something helps to sharpen your vision.
But wouldn't you think, to use a phrase, emptying the tank before an athletic event might be the opposite of what you want to do?
Right. You want to keep your adrenaline and your hormones raging, I guess? I don't know. Look, it worked for Lamar Odom. He had a nice career. Got a ring or two.
Would I trade lives with Lamar Odom right now? Probably not.
You never want to be found lifeless in a brothel. I get that. That's something you don't want on your resume. But still, you know, the other parts of it, making millions in the NBA is not too shabby.
No, he had a good...
Got to get the balance on the mood management right.
Yeah, and I don't know why it was prevalent to let the world know about this... practice, if we'll call it. Good for him.
Entertaining podcast. Hey, the baseball season. How many guys realize the baseball season started this morning?
What?
In Seoul, Korea.
What?
The Padres and the Dodgers Chan-ho Park throughout the first pitch, and then the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani hitting, not pitching, beat the Padres. Matter of fact, he had a liner go right to the first baseman's glove. But you and I were talking about this earlier. A lot of guys agreed with us when we first had the conversation. Baseball blows it when it comes to promoting the sport. The NFL will have a concert. You'll have some of the biggest names in music. Either it's in New York City or it's at the stadium, wherever the event, you know, where the game's going to be played. And then Thursday night, they own television. Major League Baseball raises the curtain in Seoul, Korea with two teams at 4:30 in the morning. And then they go back to spring training. And then we'll get back to the regular season in a few more days. It's the stupidest thing ever.
It really is. And it also dilutes the product because you want to say, as Mike just said, you want to see, rather, all of the pomp and all of the circumstance. Because opening day of baseball, I don't care if you're 25 or you're 75, it gives you that nostalgic feeling of the spring air and the fresh-cut grass and all, and it's having a beer with your buddies in the stands. Not when it's happening at 4 a.m. in Seoul, Korea. Sorry.
No, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, if you're going to do it, I mean, do it as part of the real regular season. Somebody, whether it's the Dodgers or Padres, sacrifice a couple of home games and make it a Dodger home series, but do it in Korea and do it in primetime. And then you make the Koreans stay up late the way they do in other sports. Okay? Like Formula One, Las Vegas, I was out there at that race. That race was starting at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. So everybody, the majority of people in Europe and other time zones could watch it. So why? I mean, I'm totally with promoting Major League Baseball and globally and the whole shebang, and obviously Asian players playing baseball is huge, but still, that is such a stupid move in my mind. Speaking of home openers, got the word today that it's going to be not Max Fried for the first time in 3 years, but Spencer Strider is your opening day starter.
Well, Max Fried will start the home opener.
He will be the home opener. I'm sorry, the opening day in Philadelphia will be Spencer Strider, where he's never lost in the regular season.
It is if you're going to go to use a phrase from the midday show, big deal, small deal, no deal, this is a no deal to me. I know there are some people out there on Twitter that are ranting and raving and saying, Max Fried is starting number two. That means the Braves don't see him as a long-term plant. Come on, guy. Talk about reading into something a little too much. If Max Fried goes 20-2 this year with a 3.5 ERA, the Braves are going to consider bringing him back. Just because Freddie and Dansby aren't here, that doesn't mean that that's the template for every single player in the organization.
No, but it just means those two. We've seen it. We went back and looked at the opening day starters from Len Barker back in the day to when things turned, the worm turned, and it was Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux and Smoltz and, you know, some amazing names out there. And then 6 years, I mean, you and I were like, really? Julio Teheran started 6 opening day starts. That's kind of like the lean years at the end of Turner Field and waiting until Cobb County. But look, Strider's the guy everybody wants to see. I don't think Fried's coming back. And Strider had, 20 wins last year. You are the ace. So, I mean, it just is a time-honored tradition. The best pitcher starts. But you still, as you mentioned, the home opener will be Max Fried as the Diamondbacks come in for that weekend. Hey, man, that's your guy talk. Don't forget, hitting the bricks. Going to be on the road looking for you guys at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw tomorrow. Twin Peaks Buckhead coming up on Friday. Right now, though, I got some tickets. We promoted this earlier. It's USsoccer.com tickets for if you want to see She Believes Cup. It is USA taking on Japan. Canada versus Brazil. This is going down Saturday, April 6th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If you want the tickets right now, we'll take caller number 6. Caller number 6, because it is April 6th, at 404-726-0929. If you want to get the kids to see some soccer at the international level at the Benz, it is the She Believes Cup presented by Visa. Tickets at ussoccer.com. Caller 6 right now. We'll continue this great debate. We'll open up the phone lines, too. A lot of guys got some feelings saying Marvin Harrison, if he ever fell to us, is too good to say no to.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.